Obviously, the big highlight each summer was the Italian festival by my family church. Thousands of people used to come by. And they had, I don't know where they were from, but it was an Italian marching band. And they would play the old Italian marching songs when they would go through town and that. And then the processions of the different groups from the church would go up and down with the Lady of Mount Carmel, which they used to. The people who would carry the Lady of Mount Carmel had to donate so much money to the church to carry it. And then it used to be they got to eat with the priest before the procession, which was the big thing. I don't know that that still goes on anymore or not.
Now, where would the procession run from?
I think the street to the east of where the church is located, and probably ran 6, 7, 8 blocks each way.
Is this usually in July?
Yes, and I think it's going to be coming up before too long. Probably the biggest event in town.
Now, after the actual procession and the religious part of it, would they have like a carnival type thing afterwards?
They already had a carnival set up for it.
Before it?
That they had their merry-go-rounds and that, and then on the last night they would have the fireworks, and they would have the blockbusters, which would shake the ground, almost like cannon explosives and things like that.
What was the food like?
The food that you would buy there are the ones that most people would buy would probably be the Italian beef sandwiches. And they used to have what is called a combo. You can get it with roast beef dripping with juice and sausage and what was called Merrill's Park peppers, which you would also fry there, and you'd get that. The other thing, which was the Lubini beans, and you get them in a little cup and that, and they were like a yellow wax beans, and you just snap off the outer skin and eat the inside, and you got sick. And the Italian ice, the lemonade. And they had other things, too. I think there were some spots where you can get the raw clams. And they put, a lot of people ate clams, and you just put a little hot sauce on it and on the half shell, and you would eat that. And I'm sure beer and wine were served, but I was young, so I didn't buy any. But soda pops at the time. And that's pretty much it on the feast.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the kind of stores that you went to when you were younger, growing up? The stores and maybe the restaurants.
Downstairs from us was the store that we usually went to. It was so close in that. I do remember that during the war years, we would get coupon books. Each member of the family got it. And everything was restricted. Almost anything you think of, nylons, because they needed it for parachutes. And you would get so much that you can get for sugar, flour, meat, which sometimes you can get in that. A lot of times you made your own. And I guess some, like my grandfather, you might call his plot at that time a victory garden. So a lot of people still had their own, whether it be a small plot in their backyard or a large one like my grandfather had during that period of time. I do remember as a kid when they were putting cars up on blocks and that, because big gasoline was also restricted as well. A lot of them that were going to go into service would drain their cars of the oil and that. And I remember bringing cans of oil to a gasoline station and they put in a big barrel for recycling. A lot of recycling and things were done. People, if their lights in the house, from their table or floor lamps were frayed, you redid it yourself. You went to the store and got wire and a plug and everything else, and everything was like redone.
What did you do for entertainment? Were there like movie theaters around or ice cream shops, anything like that that you ever...
If you had money.
Okay.
What we would do, a couple other interesting things. When I was a kid, they used to have trucks that would come by. And Naples, I think, also had trucks that came by, as well as the Naples store on North Avenue, in a truck, and they had the scale on the back end, and you can buy your fruits and vegetables and that. And that was a time when you still had a lot of mothers that were home, instead of now it's almost common in families to have both working full time. You would have that. And I remember milk being delivered at home. I remember the orange juice company. I think it was out of Maywood that delivered orange juice in the morning. You got that. There was the Iceman, Jefferson Ice Company, which used to be off of Main Street, and they would have blocks of ice that you would get, and we used to follow it and try and get at the back end while the truck was going, little chips of ice, and we would put it, because it was cold, in our t-shirts and just lick it and that. The Tip Top Man that came with the bread, he used to have baseball cards. And we would collect tip-top baseball cards, and that was during the 40s and that. So a lot of that was going around in the neighborhood. We were getting a lot of things delivered in that. We did have one theater in town, the Merrill's Park Theater. Probably one thing I remembered most, I think it was for 25 cents on a Saturday. Maybe it was less than that. Maybe it was 10 cents. You can go and watch 25 serials. Don Winslow, the lady, and Perils of Falling, and all those type things, where you have to come back the next week to get the conclusion, because they were going to fall off a cliff, or the plane was crashing, and you don't know what happened to them. So, and they had those things. I think my brother said the ones that he remembered was Tom Mix, who was a big Cowboys in the early part of the country. Mine was probably Gene Autry, and then Roy Rogers came afterwards, and that. And then when the televisions first came out, they had things like Hop Along Cassidy. But we also used to radio stations, Lux Radio, and then it had the Great Gildersleeve, and then Inner Sanctum, The Shadow, and then they had of the musical, George Burns, Gracie Allen, and a number of other ones I can remember. My parents went, after they went to bed, I would turn on the music and listen to music from all over the country, actually, I think, all the 1940s bands, with Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey, you know, and they would broadcast live. I later found out when my dad and mom were single, the big thing for them was to go through the different dance places. At my time, it was Melody Mill, Argonne Ballroom, and all that. And they still had bands in those days. But my father was a Charleston dancer, and we would go in contests with my mother. Sometimes they win, sometimes they didn't. But one of the favorite bands was a very famous one from here, Louis Panico's band. Now, you may get a history on that elsewhere from around here, but he had a band. I remember when he first started, he told the story of they would play at funerals and that. And he said even one time they got on an elevated train with a coffin and that and went to the Mount Carmel Cemetery event, and they'd get off and they would do a march in there. Well, what he used to get was the Italian marches, the old. But he had one guy that was a jazz musician. Well, he eventually became a jazz band, and they did that type of stuff. They started playing jazz music, and they did it with some infamous people during those periods of time. And he mentioned one time when they did it all the way there, and the mothers were clapping and humming, and in beat with the music, which you would only think existed in New Orleans, but it existed up here as well. At that point in time, it was a lot of jazz that was starting up here as well in the band. And remember Louis Armstrong came to town and that. And that was a big deal when he came in town. And Louis was a young trumpet player also, and he went to see him off the train when he came in Chicago. And he eventually knew some other musicians too, which I remember or I had records of but never met, Vic Spiderbeck and a number of other musicians in that. Louis became president of the Chicago Musicians Union, and he made sure everybody had their cards and that. If he didn't, they would not allow them to play anywhere. So that was kind of a requirement. I mean, they still had bands instead of just DJs as they have now. I remember almost everybody in town played the accordion, who was Italian. Dick Contino was the big name. And I remember going down to the Chicago, my mother taking me down to the Chicago Theater to go see Dick Contino. And Marilyn Maxwell was there. I think she was a singer or movie star at the time. And that, and listening to him play on stage. Merrill's Park at one time was not just a movie theater, but they have live acts there. Across the street from me was a place called Jimmy Spaghetti's House. His name was Jimmy Grimaldi. He had two daughters who worked in the store before they left. And he just love opera, German and Italian music and that. And he would invite them to come to his restaurant for a meal. And the first job I ever had in my life was to take his garbage can full of whatever was left over and drag it to the alley, which was a fairly long distance because they had a big drive-in area over there. My reward or payment was a bowl of spaghetti. So that's what I first got paid. Hope IRS doesn't hear that, but anyway, that's what I got. And there were a lot of pizza parlors when I was growing up and down Lake Street. I remember, which is now gone recently, which was come back in. That originally started as a pizza parlor next to it in a liquor store. And that house, which became all of come back in. There were two brothers, Pete Cortino and I can't remember, Jimmy, Peter and Jimmy, who were night and day difference. One loved Alaska and that, hunted and all that. So if you ever get pictures or someone ever has pictures of it, with the bear outside, and then when you first walk in, there used to be the front half of a moose over the fireplace and the rear end of the moose on the other one. But he had animals decorated around the whole thing. But his brother didn't like the dark, homey type stuff and that. He liked the bright stuff and that. And his thing in life was to go down to Miami, Florida. So they couldn't agree on anything, so we decided each would take over the restaurant a half a year each with some overlap, which I know from a lot of the waitresses said that was a living hell for the times that they overlap twice a year. But he liked it bright and light and loud music, and the other one didn't. Marco Tony, I think on 23rd Street, had a barbershop after back in World War II, and he used to cut hair.